David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. And today I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today. We have author Brad Elder, and he has a phenomenal thriller that he's just recently wrote. And he's here to talk about his thriller and also to help us a little when it comes to learn how to write a book. He's going to show you different ways and different things that you could do to actually help yourself, you know, for new time writers. He has the questions and the answers that you would love to hear. So, you know, I'm so excited to have you on the show, Brad. You know, I'm really excited about your book that's coming out very shortly. Can you tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do?
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me, Stacey. This is a great honor. So I'm not a creative person by nature. I didn't realize I was anyway. And I was in my late 40s at the time. And I just thought, you know, I've got 3 weeks off that was supposed to be part of a trial. I'm going to go to the art store and I'm going to buy some canvas. I'm going to buy some paint. And I'm just going to do something that only involves me. And I don't even care how it turns out. And they weren't good in the beginning. Not that they got a tremendous amount better, but at least you can tell what they are.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
And it just kind of created this creative spark in me that I've really enjoyed exploring. It's completely outside of my norm, completely outside of who I always thought I was and the talents that I may or may not have. And a couple of years ago, I was reading a novel, and I do enjoy reading a lot. And I was reading a novel by the great writer Jack Carr, Red Sky Morning, and something occurred to me that I think I can do this. I really do. And then you start to have the self-doubts because I'm not a trained writer. I don't have a creative writing degree. You know, I was a business major and then I went to law school. You know, the last writing class I had was 1988, my freshman year of college. But you learn, you know, I learn by doing, I learn by seeing, I'm a visual learner, and I've read, you know, dozens and dozens, you know, probably well over 100 of these books. And it kind of starts to teach you, you know, how these great, great writers write. And I kept asking myself, why not me?
Yeah.
And I didn't have a good answer to that question.
Right.
So I popped up my computer and started writing and came up with a character and had a brief idea of what the plot was about. That has completely changed. I will say that it's not even remotely close to the same, but it's about a protagonist. Ryan Wolf is his name. Again, that name has changed several times as well, but Ryan Wolf is his name. I have to give my wife credit for that one. She's the one that named him. He is a lawyer. I wouldn't call it necessarily a legal thriller. But he is a lawyer. A case is at the epicenter of the book, and it's the big, very big part of the storyline, but it goes further than that and in his life outside of this case and everything that brought, everything that he didn't see initially in the case has really affected his outside world. And he's put into a scenario to where he has to truly grow as a human being and ask himself if he's capable, truly capable of doing what it's going to take to do to keep the people safe that he feels like he's the one that put in danger.
Wow.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun writing it. You know, there's a lot of research involved. You know, I didn't want to sound like I didn't know what I was talking about. And,
yeah.
and you want to make sure that it's somewhat factual. And I heard another great writer, Brad Thor, he explained to me, it calls it not fiction, it's faction. It's largely based on facts, you know, that happen in our everyday lives. But obviously we fancy it up and fiction it up a little bit, to make it an interesting story.
Oh, I love that. Now, what was the most challenging part of writing this thriller?
I think initially was convincing myself that I could do it. And, you know, I've explained to others that writing a book is a is an exercise in humility, and it's an exercise in vulnerability.
Right.
So I wrote the first few chapters, and, you know, I didn't want to fool myself. I liked the way they sounded, but I didn't want to fool myself. So I went to a friend who's a professor at a university on the East Coast, who's a very good writer in his own regard, and published a few nonfiction books. And so he's really the only person I knew to go to. And I sent him the manuscript, the first few chapters, and he was very, very positive, but he's my friend too. And
yeah.
You know, you say, go, well, you're my buddy, you know, you're my buddy. So you're just saying these things, but he gave me the confidence to, you know, to continue on. And then when I finished the manuscript, my friend was visiting from out of town, another friend, and I hadn't even told anyone I was writing a book.
Oh,
My wife
really?
knew and my kids knew, and that's it. I was a little nervous about it. I was nervous to actually say that, hey, I think this is good. What do you think about it? So anyway, he really wanted he's like, can I, I'd love to read it. So I had a rough draft manuscript of it and gave it to him. And man, I was so nervous to get his feedback. And so that vulnerability was probably the hardest for me to get past. Even today, as I go on my social media and I post updates and my friends start to see it, you know, as far as the general public is concerned, you're not as worried. You don't feel as vulnerable because you don't know them personally.
Yeah.
But when you know someone personally, you're like, hey, I created this. Tell me what you think. You know, and again, vulnerability is the only word I can think of to describe that. And that's probably been the hardest part as far as the hardest hump to get over. Now, there's very difficult parts when it comes to publishing. Publishing's a difficult process. I am self-publishing the book. And so I'm drinking from a fire hose, learning so many things about the publishing industry. And it's been fun. It's been very educational. But it's a lot. You get inundated with information. Everybody claiming that they can publish your book, help you publish your book. All you gotta do is pay them. And I fell into that trap. But I've been able to weave my way through it and do things my own way as well, and utilize them for the things that I don't know how to do. But you can. I feel very comfortable the next go around. I'll be able to navigate that process a lot more seamlessly. But that's been a very difficult, I say very difficult. That's been a very challenging portion of the process is the publishing. Writing the book wasn't that hard. That was the fun part, really. It's changed several times. I hired a developmental editor to help me out, and you know, because I write this book and I'm like, I think it's good, but I like a professional's opinion on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I found a wonderful development editor, and he, you know, he was able to help me peel back some of the rabbit holes I went down in, and then really direct the storyline. And I can't tell you how appreciative I am of him. But the writing's the fun part. It's getting it into the public's hands that's a little more difficult.
Right. Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. So what did you, how did you develop the main characters and the motivations behind them?
Yeah. So I think a lot of authors won't admit to this, but there are parts of Ryan Wolf's life and mine that intersect. You know, I've always heard, you know, write what you know. And that was a way for me to really connect with the character. Is he's not me. He's the person I wish I was. And that's what I had to explain to my friend who he texted me right after, goes, oh, 6 foot and 185. I'm like, okay, he's not me. Okay. He's not me. He's who I wish I was. And there's certain characters in the book that have been in my life. There's certain, real life examples that he goes through that has been in my life. And so that's one of the ways I could really connect with them. And I, you know, I'd always, you know, I reading thriller novels by the greats, the Baldacci's of the world, and Harlan Coben's, and Jack Carr, and Brad Thor, and all the greats. I'm not gonna lie and say I didn't fancy myself a black ops operator, and I pictured myself as the excuse my language, but as the badass going through and saving the day. And so, but I always ask the question. Obviously, that's not my background. I'm not that guy. I don't have that kind of training. What would I do though, if I was ever forced into a situation where I had to act in this way? I'm not talking about a normal home invasion or something where you would protect your family. But if you're in a situation that a lot of these great characters from those books find themselves in, who do have the training, who do have the knowledge, who do have the background that I don't, what would I do? How far would I be willing to go to protect those that can't protect themselves? And that's kind of how the character Ryan Wolf grew from there. You know, it's questions that I'd always had for myself, but I use a little more interesting a character than myself
Oh, I love
to
it.
tell the story.
Like, what kind of research did you do to create the set-in and the plot for your book?
Well, it's set in Houston, Texas, where my title company is. So a lot of the area is I'm very familiar with. Used to have an apartment down there that I stayed in when I was down there, and so I know the landscape of the area very well. And actually, his office, I didn't realize until later. I was picturing one of my offices down there as his office, so I was able to pull on some of that as well. But as the story goes on, there's a element there, and I don't want to be too much of a spoiler here, but there's an element to where the cartel gets involved, one of a drug cartel gets involved, and unfortunately, some very sinister things go on. Again, I don't want to spoil too much there, but you know, luckily there's a lot of information online that you can draw from. One of my close friends, brother-in-law's in the FBI as well, so I was able to not get any, you know, information I wasn't supposed to have, but in general information to where I wanted to make sure that the things I was saying were actually plausible. Again, I'm not an FBI agent, so you know, I wanted to make sure that they were plausible. And there's also an element of the story that's it's technology based, and I'm by no means an IT expert, but how artificial intelligence has really played into this sinister plot that they have. And so I had to educate myself there as well. You know, my got a close friend who's in IT, at a very experienced IT professional, and drew from him as well. Drew so much I even named one of the characters after him. Not one of the good characters, not one of the kind characters, but he seemed to enjoy it. So, you know, I was able to pull on resources that I have in everyday life. And also, luckily, there's a lot online to be able to pull from.
Oh, I like that. Now, were there any real life events or experiences that influenced certain parts of the book?
There are. There's kind of an allegorical portion of Ryan's past, to where it has to do with his relationship with his father, and is a good relationship, but it wasn't as there's certain things missing there that he's obviously been searching for in his life. And I was able to pull on a pretty specific event. And it's a fun event. It's silly, but it's fun. But it had a huge impact on my life, and I wanted that to have a huge impact on Ryan's life as well. And then, sorry, my sister is also a character in the book, and she had a huge impact on him, on me, and on him as well. So,
Oh,
sorry
wow.
about that.
No, that's okay. You got a little choked up there.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, but I can almost never mention it without it. And if anyone, if I'm lucky enough to have anyone of your listeners read the book, I think they'll be able to see why.
Oh. How do you keep the suspense and the tension high throughout the book without losing it?
Yeah, that's really the key to a thriller novel, is always leaving a little bit of a cliffhanger, a little bit of a cliffhanger, a
Yeah.
little bit of a cliffhanger. And what I noticed that many of the authors that I love do is they will lead you up to a point and leave you a little cliffhanger, and then they'll go to another
Yes.
part of the story. And I used to get so frustrated with that.
Yes, me
I'm
too.
reading, I'm like, oh, I don't want to go back to this other part of the story. But 3 pages into the other part, I'm invested in that part too. And then it changed, like, well, I now wanted to con so it builds and builds and builds to until the end that comes in. So I tried really hard to.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
To follow that pattern, and my developmental editor was very good about showing me where it was really, I did it really well, and other parts so I needed to probably beef it up a little bit. But you have to kind of have, and I'll say this, I didn't work off of an outline.
Okay.
A lot of authors will, and I see, as I went through this, again, this was my first time, this is my first
Yeah.
creative work to write. I see where that would be a real advantage, but I find I'm more creative when I'm being creative.
Yes.
So it was very hard for me to sit down and write an outline of where I wanted the book to go. I didn't know how the book was going to end until it ended, until
Right.
I wrote it. So as I'm writing it, it kind of just grew from there. It grew from as I'm writing and getting these ideas, because I don't think I could sit down and write an outline for a book. I could give a basic premise, but that'd be very difficult for me to get that far into the details without actually doing it. So
Right.
that was the really the now I again I can see real advantages to working from an outline, because I had to go back and change a lot. The
Yeah.
flow and the, hey, I can't put that here because, I messed up and started writing here. And so there's a lot of mistakes I had to correct, and
Yeah.
it took a long time, but I don't know that I could have produced the same book had I worked directly from an outline.
And were there any authors or any books that you particularly influenced your writing?
I mentioned Jack Carr, who I just love, absolutely love his books. I think he's a great
Yeah.
human being too. Early on, the first book I ever read for my own enjoyment was Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry.
Yeah.
I didn't read a lot growing up. I kind of disliked it through high school. I was the kid who bought the Cliff Notes and hopefully got my way through that. But certain books in high school, by George Orwell or I liked some of those books, but as I got a little older and in college, I read Larry McMurtry's Lonesome Dove, and
Yeah.
it just captured me because of the characters and how deep, deep, deep the characters were. The storyline wasn't even, it was almost an aside
Yeah.
to develop what great characters that he had. But, and I didn't read a ton after that. Then I went to law school and I realized that, well, you kind of have to read.
Yeah.
And the cases that I enjoyed, and that were interesting, I enjoyed reading them. So afterward, I discovered Harlan Coben was probably the first, John Grisham early on too, with the ties of being legal thrillers. And then I discovered Harlan Coben, and then from there, Brad Thor, and then Baldacci, and then most recently Jack Carr. And I find myself, I'll wake up very early in the morning, whether it be 3:30, 4:30 in the morning. And I can't go back to sleep because I think I would rather be sitting on my couch right now, finishing this story, than getting more sleep. So that it was just, it's captivating to me. And their stories, their characters, and what I thought is brilliant on their part is we know these protagonists are not going to die. We know they're not. But you certainly think they might every single time. And I think that's a part of their brilliance.
Oh yeah, for sure. Now, how did you come up with some plot twists and surprises in your book?
So again, I didn't have an outline, and it just kind of felt like I went by I'm kind of a field player. If you play golf, some guys are real, they're field players. I feel like it should be this kind of shot. I was kind of a feel rider, like where's this, what would be really interesting to happen here? And some of the time I got it when I was writing. Other times I didn't get it when I was trying to figure out what happened here, like sitting down. It was literally doing some mundane duty or project throughout the day. I'd see something like, oh, that would be cool. I could weave that in. So it's just my outside world that sparked something. I'd jot it down and then it would grow off of that. So that's kind of the way that really a lot of the twists happen. Are through either like say as I'm writing going, oh, okay, I could see it going here. That needs to go here. Or just came to me, but it wasn't actively sitting down and trying to figure it out.
Oh, I like that. Now, when it comes to the readers, what do you hope the readers will take away from this?
Well, I hope that it resonates with them in that. I think it encourages them to ask themselves the same thing I ask myself. What would I do in this situation? I think the character Ryan Wolf is he is an everyday guy, I would say. And I would hope that would resonate with them as someone they know or themselves and ask themselves, what would they do? And that doesn't just mean if you're facing off against a dangerous cartel. That doesn't mean if you're facing a you're the defendant in your lawsuit is the most powerful law firm in the country. That doesn't necessarily mean that, but in any walk of life, how far are you willing to go to do the things that you feel are vital and important in your life? And again, that could be like we said earlier, adopt it were to be adopting a child, or that would be, hey, I'm going to get myself in shape. I'm tired of being unhealthy, or I'm tired of being overweight, or I'm tired of not feeling well, or I'm tired of this, I'm tired of my financial situation. How far are you willing to go to change that? And I hope that the readers could see that. And if not, hopefully they'll just be entertained.
How did you deal with like readers, like with writer's block or creative slumps in the writing process?
Yeah, it definitely happens. And I will say I didn't struggle with it as much as I've heard others have. Now, again, this is my first book, so I'm sure that's on the horizon and to come. But I would literally just take some time off. I didn't sit there and try to figure it out. I would, whether it be go exercise or even take a shower or go mow the lawn, just anything to clear my mind of what I was doing at the time, because if I grinded over it too much, I found that it was just getting worse and worse and worse. I could not figure out where this was going to go. And sometimes I would just start writing gibberish, just telling a different story of whatever it may be. Two kids playing, look outside, there's two kids playing ball outside. And I'll just start writing a story. Then something pops and you go, oh no. And so I'm not a grinder as far as that's concerned, trying to figure that out. I just try to clear my mind, but with whatever way I could.
Now, what would you say to aspiring writers that want to write a thriller? Do you have any advice for them?
Just sit down and start writing. Just the starting the process is 90% of it, in my opinion. And believing that you can do it. If you're an aspiring writer, you have a desire. You obviously have, and my guess is you have some talent too. You may be unrealized talent, and it may be you don't have the quite the confidence yet to do it. And I
Right.
struggle with that still as well. But I would say just start the project.
Right.
Even if it's a few chapters, even if it's a few paragraphs, just
Right.
start the process.
Right.
And if it doesn't work into anything, so what?
Yeah.
Really, so what? I mean, we all want to sell books. I'm not going to let's say this is completely altruistic and I just needed it for my own personal growth. We all want to sell some books, right?
Yeah.
But if you don't, the pride, I guess, is maybe the word of being able to say I started and finished a novel, and whether you're just going to give it to your friends and family,
Right.
that's a tremendous accomplishment.
Yeah.
Not many people have done. And if you can accomplish that, imagine all the other things you can accomplish in your life
Oh,
that,
yeah.
and it's not just, oh, set your mind to it and you can do anything. I'm not a big believer in that because I'm never going to play professional golf. I'm never going to play professional sport. Certain things you're just not capable of doing.
Yeah.
But we're all capable of taking an idea and massaging it and letting it grow. And if you can do that, I think the confidence it gives you in every walk of life is going to be, the return's going to be tenfold.
Oh, yeah, that's great advice. I really find that very useful for especially for, people who want to be an aspiring writer when it comes to writing a thriller. Now, are there any Easter eggs or hidden references within your book for your readers to find?
Yeah, there are some. Yes, some won't get them because they're my friends will, because they're personal inside jokes. But
Yeah.
I try to pay homage to those authors that I love so much, and I'll put in some thinly veiled references, and then some not so thinly veiled references
Yeah.
to some of the character the names of their other characters weaved in as a not as one of the characters but weaved in as the name of a bar or I'm a huge fan of the movie Shawshank Redemption,
Yeah.
and there's a little tidbit in there that I think people will notice if they're fans of it as well. Just little fun things like that. I mean, I could name them anything, name this place anything, and now I was careful to make sure I mentioned that in my author's notes that I wasn't stealing it, that it's not my product, it's theirs, and it was meant as a show of respect and
Right.
adoration, not as anything else. And I hope that comes through. But there's little things like that and things from my personal life that certain people will pick up on
Yeah.
that others won't. But it's fun to do that. And a lot of the authors that I love, they have a great thing that they do is they will take a charity of their choice, and if you donate a certain amount to their charity, they'll take in your name and they'll make a character after it. It's a
Oh,
great
yeah.
idea. I mean,
That
it's
is a
cool
great
for the
idea.
people who donate. It's great for the charity,
Yeah.
and you have to have a name anyway. So
Right.
I don't have that quite that kind of pull. So as a way to kind of pay back my friends for their loyalty and their great friendship, a lot of the characters in the books are my friends, names of my friends. Now I hope in on my website I'm updated to now to kind of give the story behind the name, the actual people who inspired it,
Yeah.
and to note none of them are cartel members. So just and they're the actual people are cartel members. Some of the
Yeah.
characters' names are, but th those are some of the little like Easter eggs. That's a good way to put it, that are in the book.
Oh, I think that's so cool. Now, what's your future writing plans? Do you intend to write more thrillers or explore more areas of in writing your next book?
Yeah, actually, I do. Since I've completed the book, and it's in the formatting process, and getting the final copy printed, and for the last approval, I have delved into the next chapter of the Ryan Wolf series. Even put in a little tidbit at the end of this book, so you can get a little sneak peek of the newest one. I'm about 10 very rough chapters in right
Oh,
now. So,
very cool. Oh, wow.
it's been fun to explore where the character goes next,
Yeah.
and where the ancillary characters who help him in you know in the first novel, in Requel of Justice, how they tie back in. It's been fun to know what, and I knew I didn't feel like it was going to be a finality when I ended the first book. I wanted to keep doing it,
Yeah.
and it's been more fun than I thought to continue that. And then, one of the things that I've noticed is as you write the next chapter, you're kind of tied to what you wrote in the beginning. You're like, oh, I wish I would have said this, or I wish I would have had him do this, but you're tied down now. So
Yeah.
just exercise your creative muscles there to go, well, I have to pattern something else after that. So.
Oh, I love that. Now, if you had to take today's conversation, you really want to emphasize on some important factors. Are there certain things you'd like to emphasize to the listeners today?
That's a very good question. I would, and I don't want to be too cliche-ish here, but truly, just start the process. It's again, it's the hardest thing. Exercise programs, saving money, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Start the process. And
Right.
I heard a tip from someone years ago that if you're the kind of person who works out after work and you get home, part of the battle is getting up and putting on your gym clothes.
Yes.
Their advice was, the second you get home, put on your gym clothes. Even if you go sit on the couch,
Right.
that's fine. But now all you have to do is get up and walk out the door. You don't have to go, well, I don't want to go put on my gym. So it's that starting the process that I think you will truly find, you'll get your traction, and you'll truly find that you absolutely can do this. And if it goes nowhere, it's going to go somewhere because you'll have a finished product in front of you.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, where can people find your book?
It's going to be sold on anywhere you buy books online, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, or they can go to my website. It's bradeldernovels.com, all one word, obviously. Bradeldernovels.com. And that can actually go now and get a sneak peek at the prologue of Requel of Justice. I'm hoping for it to be out very, very soon in the coming weeks. And maybe by the time this airs, maybe it will already be out. Hopefully, it will already be out. But again, bradeldernovels.com. You can also follow me on Facebook at Brad Elder Novels as well. It's three different words, Brad Elder Novels. Or I'm developing my Instagram page. I'm of the age that I'm not the greatest on Instagram, but it's not as robust as my Facebook page. But it's brad.elder.novels, and they can follow me there. And updates for the published date, and they can also enter to win a free signed copy of the book.
Oh wow. Oh wow. Well, this is great. Thank you so much, Brad, for being on the show. I really enjoyed this. I really wish you the best of luck. This is an amazing, it sounds like an amazing thriller. I can't wait to read it myself. And
Well, I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for having me on.
oh, you're very welcome. This has been a great interview and you've been wonderful. And I thank you so much for taking the time to come out and tell us about the thriller and also share your process of how you actually started from the beginning to the end and how you inspire others who want to do the same. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye bye.